In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ has ascended.
From earth to heaven.
Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this joyful feast of the Ascension of our Lord. In the book, The Meaning of Icons, which is a great book about the iconography of the Holy Feasts, all the 12 great feasts and many other icons, it has commentaries on the meaning of the icons. And regarding the Feast of the Ascension, it says that the Feast of Salvation is consummated. And the whole process of salvation, birth, passion, death, and resurrection, are completed in the Ascension. And then we also see in the Kantakion of the Feast of the Ascension, reads, "When thou hadst fulfilled for us thy dispensation, and united the things in earth with the things in heaven, thou, O Christ our God, didst ascend into glory, and in no wise being parted from them that love thee, but thou didst remain with them inseparably, and proclaim to them, I am with you, no one is against you." So the ascension of Christ has definitely three aspects for our consideration, for our contemplation. It's really a personal meaning for us, an evangelical aspect, and also the term eschatological, which means the last days, when Christ will come at the end of the period of time, and bring in the new kingdom. So on a personal level, the Holy Fathers have taught us that it is not only Jesus Christ who has ascended, but that he has raised human nature into itself to the heavens. And we too shall rise from the dead, and if we are judged worthy, we'll rise with our regenerated spiritual body to heaven. Whereas Blessed Augustine says, all the people of God shall be made equal to the angels. So Christ, when he rose up into the sky with the angels and ascended into heaven, evidently they were amazed that his body had a reddish color to it. That's because it was his resurrected body that ascended into heaven. It wasn't just, his soul or spiritual body or his divinity even. It was he actually, was walking around during those 40 days in his resurrected body, which was transformed, but yet it was still his body. So that body is risen in the ascension, up to heaven. And that same body will come again. Christ will come again with that resurrected body when he comes in his second coming. So this feast also has an evangelical meaning for us, because we are really like those disciples who became witnesses of Christ's resurrection. And of course, we're called upon to also, preach the good news, as it were, to become witnesses ourselves. As it says in today's gospel, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So as he sent his disciples forth to proclaim the gospel, the whole Christian faith, we are supposed to be examples of that Christian faith so that other people can, find out about it. And then there's this eschatological dimension, which is proclaimed by these two angels. We see the two angels in the icon. And they say to the disciples, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So in a sense, there is a temptation to go, okay, well, Christ was crucified, he rose from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven. So that's it. It's done. It's over with. Okay, so long. Bye. That's it. We won't see him ever again. And of course, that's not true. These angels say, why do you stand gazing up into heaven as though he's never coming back again? In other words, he is coming back just as he was among you. And so in a way, these three dynamics, the personal, the evangelical, and the end times, the eschatological dynamic, all work together. So what do the disciples do after they've witnessed Christ's ascension? What should they do? Well, Christ told them what to do, to stay in Jerusalem. So they worship Christ, return to the temple in Jerusalem with great joy, praising and blessing God. Which also is another indication of the disciples were starting to understand what was going on, that this wasn't the end, that Jesus didn't just leave, and but that he was going to be with them, even though for the time being, in this period of time, until he returns in his second coming, he's with us spiritually, you know, but that's not to say that he's not with us in reality. He actually is with us in reality, but the reality is a higher reality, which is what we're called to. The icon of Christ, the icon of the Ascension, depicts Christ ascending into heaven, but it also links the Mother of God and the disciples who are standing upon the earth. And of course, this is an image of the church. So when we see the Mother of God and all the disciples, that's the beginning of the church. Okay, so this Ascension and the Church of Christ on earth is linked together. The Lord led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Well, we are also called to follow Christ where he leads us and to witness his glorious ascension into heaven. And as it says in the Acts 1, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, where ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So in 10 days, we'll have the Feast of Pentecost when we celebrate the descent of the Holy Spirit. And so if you consider as disciples, we're following in the footsteps of Christ. You know, we followed him to his cross on Holy Friday. We celebrated his resurrection from the dead at Pascha. For 40 days, he's been with us. We've experienced some of the grace of that. And now today in the Ascension, we celebrate his, you know, rising up into the kingdom of heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And in 10 days, we'll celebrate his sending the Holy Spirit upon us. St. Seraphim of Sarov and many of the Holy Fathers have taught that the primary goal of our life is to acquire the grace of the Holy Spirit to the fullest extent possible. And we can certainly see the examples from the lives of the saints that they were filled with the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this is what enabled them to really be witnesses. And what did they do in order to acquire this grace? Well, they were obedient to Christ's commandments. They praised and blessed God with great joy in his temple, in other words, the church. And they waited as they were told in order to receive power from on high. So that's a good image for us. If we, you know, in order to fulfill this mandate for us to acquire the Holy Spirit and acquire this grace, we need to be obedient. We need to praise and give glory to God in the church, and we need to wait on the Lord. That's kind of hard for us to do. We're kind of impatient in our times. You know, you pull up to the drive-in window at Burger King or something. You expect, where's my burger? You know, right now. I need it right now. You don't want to wait half an hour. You want it within 30 seconds or a minute at the most. And that's our society today. We live in a very fast-paced culture. You know, the internet. You just ask a question. Boom, the answer's right there. You don't have to go down to the library and dig through books. You know, it's everything's instant. You know, so we have a hard time waiting sometimes. But God has his own time frame, you know, that is not the same as our time frame. And so we really need to defer to God's time frame and try and be patient. So in the meantime, let's be obedient and praise and bless God and with great joy in the church. Without this grace of the Holy Spirit, how can anyone really be an effective witness to the Christian faith? You know, many people today in the world are unbelievers, and they rightly accuse Christians of being hypocritical and the Christian faith as being powerless to help them with their problems. But this is only when those Christians have not received that power from on high, the grace of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul once wrote that unless he had charity, he was just merely like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, you know, just making a little noise, but really didn't do too much. And this is an accurate description of a Christian who has not yet received power from on high. And yet those disciples who were present at the Lord's ascension were like trailblazers who showed us the way. And of course, we need to imitate what they did. We need to obey Christ's commandments, come to church as often as we can, praising and blessing God, and then wait on the Lord for him to fill us with the grace of the Holy Spirit, which we can receive when we pray, when we fast, when we confess our sins, when we partake worthily of Holy Communion, when we are charitable and do good deeds to help others. And by practicing these things as the disciples did, we can begin to serve as real witnesses to the grace of God, because we will be filled with the grace of God ourselves. No one can give something to someone that which he does not have. Someone asks you for a glass of water, how are you going to give it to him unless you got access to some water? You know, you can't. I mean, you're just both, it's like the blind leading the blind. But if you have access to the water, you can offer the guy a drink. You got a faucet, you got a bottle of water, whatever. And by the same token, we have to have this grace in order to give grace to others, or be a vehicle for grace. However, as St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So St. Paul says he's not being a witness and, you know, preaching the gospel merely with words. You know, because in those days they had the Greek philosophers, and they'd talk endlessly about all kinds of ideas, and that was very nice, you know. But they did not have the grace of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why St. Paul says it's really the cross that gives us this power of God. The cross is, you know, for us simply means the sacrifice. When we make a sacrifice for God, when we take time out of our busy schedules and come to church, we are making a sacrifice of our time. When it's a Wednesday or a Friday or it's a Great Lent, and we refrain from eating meat and dairy products to fast, we are making a sacrifice for God. When we write out a check and put it in the offering for the church, or when we give some money to the poor, or we go visit those who are sick, or and so forth, we are making a sacrifice of ourselves. So this is the cross. When we have to even endure hardship, many of us have hardships of various things. You know, we might have illnesses, we might have financial struggles, we might have difficulties with family relations or whatever it is. We have these struggles. But when we will endure those struggles, we are making a sacrifice for God. That is how we take up our cross. And by taking up our cross, like St. Paul says, you know, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, taking up our cross is the power of God. That's when a person is really alive as a Christian. You know, is when they're willingly, you know, making those sacrifices and trying to be patient and endure whatever God sends us. And we also, of course, have to ask God to help us. You know, we can't really do this by ourselves. So, in other words, at the end of the day, at the bottom line, it's really not enough to simply tell others about our faith, just in words only, with very, you know, clear logic and reason and all that. That's okay, but that in and of itself doesn't matter. You know, you could have an Orthodox Christian who never comes to church, never receives communion, you know, for a whole year or more, or years and years, maybe they never come to church, and they're going to go around telling people how great the Orthodox faith is, you know. What kind of witness is that going to be? The person will say, "Well, that's interesting. You know, that's nice ideas, but I never see you go to church. You know, I mean, what is it you're witnessing to? You know." But if a person is practicing it, they're going to be just dripping with grace, and it's going to radiate forth from them. And then people are going to sense that; they're going to feel it. We don't know with the time that the Lord will return in His second coming. But as His disciples, we know that He commanded us to obey His commandments and to serve as His witnesses before all nations. And so as we look forward to this coming Feast of Pentecost, let us make a sincere effort to acquire this grace of the Holy Spirit so that we can imitate those disciples who established Christ's church upon this earth for the salvation of many. Christ has ascended.